We're continuing on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah, continuing on the topic where we have an argument between the husband and the wife, Tainas Basulim, where he finds that she's not a Basula, and we have to figure out why. So it's going to be another one of those Bori Yishema cases, like we had in the previous one, where she's saying a Tainas Bori, she's saying a definite claim, and he's saying a Tainas Shema, he's saying maybe not. So, if she says that I'm a mukaseit, so it's true you found me not a basula, but the reason is because I was injured by wood. There was no actual relations. And the husband says, not so. He's saying you might have had relations before our erusin. So he's not claiming it was after the erusin and she might be also to him. Or for that matter, if it was onus, then unless he's a kohen, then anyway, if it was an onus, we say nistach for sadeh, or if like his field was flooded, and it's his tough luck, and he still has to pay the 200 regardless. But he's claiming it was before, he was claiming that it might have been before the Erusin. So the case would be, like we had previously, on Daf Yud Beis, Kugan Shekidush Abal La'altar, where he did the Kiddushin, and right away after that, he did the Be'ilah, or very shortly after that. So there's no possibility that there was anything during the Erusin, but he wants to say that it was before the Erusin, and therefore, so again, we learned before, and we're going to learn in all Gemara again, is it that he's saying he should only have to give 100 for the Ksuba, and she's saying 200? Or is it that he's saying nothing because it's a mekach tos and she's saying 100? So we'll see that in the Gemara. So again, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer are in their menace. So like in the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that we can believe her. She's mukaseit, so therefore she doesn't lose anything. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't live from her mouth, which is the expression that we had before, that we can't necessarily accept that what she's saying is true. Rather, she has the chazaka that she had relations. Unless she brings a proof for what she's saying that she is in fact mukaseit. Especially, we learned the other day that there were rishonim who learned that mukaseit is really quite rare anyway, and therefore, so there's less reason to believe it. So Rabbi Yeshua says we don't in fact just believe her on her say so. She'd have to bring some kind of proof for it. So the Gemara says, Tana Sayubamai, what exactly is the claim and the counterclaim between him and her? What is he claiming that he should or shouldn't have to do? And what is she counterclaiming? Rabbi Yechanan says the argument between them is she's saying I should still get 200. Because even though I don't have basulim, the fact is it wasn't because of bia, it was only mukaseit, and therefore I should still get my 200. And whereas he's counterclaiming and saying, no, you're not a basula, therefore only a mona. Which, by the way, the Ritzvah points out, why don't we say this is Moedim Mitzas? He's claiming 200, he's claiming 100, and she's claiming 200, and he's counterclaiming 200, and he's counterclaiming 100. So the reason is because no matter what, he's high of 100 either way. So we only say Moedim Mitzas when he could have denied the whole thing, and instead he admits the part of it. Here he can't deny that there's less than 100, according to Rabbi Yechanan, because no matter what, she's getting less than 100 for her Ksuba regardless. So Rabbi Yechanan says that's what we're talking about in our Mishnah. Rabbi Loza says she's claiming she should get a mana. He's claiming she shouldn't get anything. So Rabbi Yechanan Amar Masayim Mana Sovala to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Yechanan holds like Rabbi Meir. Now we don't mean Rashi says it doesn't mean that doesn't mean that he holds the halacha like Rabbi Meir. The fact is the halacha should be like the Chachamim, but he means that the Tana of our Mishnah Rabbi Yechanan is saying would be Rabbi Meir. The Amar Bein Hikuba Bein Lo Hikuba or Bein Lo Hikuba. He says whether he realized ahead of time that she's a mukas eitz or not. We learned before that we said that Rabbi Meir had said Mosayim that either way she gets 200. So therefore she's saying I'm a mukas eitz. Therefore I get 200 like Rabbi Meir, and he's saying you might be drus asish, and therefore you only get a mona. So in short, in other words, we see also we learned previously in machlokas between various amiroyim. If a man marries a woman on the assumption that she's a basula, and it turns out that she's a ba'ula, do we say that it's mekach tos, and he can say the whole marriage was based on false pretenses and therefore no basula at all, or do we say that she still just gets a mana? So Rabbi Yochanan is holding, like the opinion that we said there, that she gets only a mana. Rabbi Loza says the argument is that he said that she's claiming she gets a mona, and she's and he's counterclaiming that maybe you don't get anything because sava like rabbanon. He holds that on Mishnah goes like the Chachamim, the Amri bein lo hikuba, whether he realized that she was a mukas eitz or not, either ksuba, either way mona, either way she gets a ksuba of 100. So she's claiming that she's mukas eitz, therefore she gets 100. He's claiming that she's jurasasish, and he's claiming that there might be mekaf tos, because he, Rabbi Loza, would be holding like the opinion that said that if he married her thinking she's a pasula, and it turns out that she's a gola, then she gets a mona. So the Gemara says, the Shleimer of Eliezer like Ha'amar Kerabiyachanan. I can understand Rabbi Loza doesn't. The Shleimer of Eliezer like Ha'amar Kerabiyachanan. I can understand why Rabbi Loza does not want to learn the Mishnah the way Rabbi Yechanan does. The Kamuki Bakerabanan, because Rabbi Loza would rather say that our Mishnah goes like the Chachamim. You usually don't want to say, even though we say Stam Mishnah to Meir, that's more as far as the wording of the Mishnah. But as far as the actual content, as far as the opinion in the Mishnah, we usually want to say that it goes according to all the Chachamim, not just according to one Tana. So therefore, Rabbi Loza considers it to be, he'd rather not have to say that it's only according to, that it's only according to one Tana. El Rabbi Yechanan, my time, El Amakir Rabbi Loza. Why doesn't Rabbi Yechanan want to learn like Rabbi Loza? That the argument is that that she's saying I got a mona and the husband is counterclaiming that she doesn't get anything. And the answer is kasava, because Rabbi Yechanan holds like that meroim that we had before. Konsa b'cheskas b'ola v'nimtzes b'ola, that if b'cheskas b'sula v'nimtzes b'ola, if he married her with hazaka that she was a b'sula, and it turns out that she's a b'ola, he holds yesh l'ksuba mona. He holds that in fact she still gets a ksuba of a mona. We can't say mekach toru since she gets nothing at all. So you'd have to consider hacha hu ka'amar mona. So after all, if you're going to say, therefore, that she no matter what gets a mona anyway, well, he's saying hu ka'amar mona. He's saying I'm obligated in a mona because I married you as a basula and I thought I was going to have to do 200. Now it turns out that you're ba'ula, so it's only 100, but I still have to do 100. And vihi ka'amar mona, she's also saying a mona because we say that she's claiming she's a mukas eitz and should only get 100. So you'd have to ask, my ikaben tiny didday, la tiny dida. So what's the practical difference? Either way, they're both agreeing that she gets a mona. So Rabbi Yechanan says, if the Mishnah went like the Chachamim, then there'd be no argument between them anyway, because they'd both be saying that she's getting a mona. Necessarily, we have to say that we're going like Reb Meir, where she's claiming 200 because Reb Meir holds that a mukas eitz, as we learned a few Mishnahs ago, it's 200, and the Chachamim are disagreeing and saying a mana. So our Mishnah necessarily has to go like Reb Meir. So she's claiming 200 as a mukas eitz, and he's counterclaiming 100. He's counterclaiming 100 because he's saying that she's a bo'ola. Okay. So the Gemara continues. B'shleim a little b'lazer. So I understand the coins of a b'lazer. That says that the argument is the husband is claiming that she has no ksuba at all because it was a mekach toros. Well, then we understand. Then we understand why there are two different mishnayos. We had the previous mishnah, a few mishnayos ago, it was actually the previous mishnah, Yabez Amad Bez, where he found that she's not a basula. She says that there was an onus after the erusin, and therefore mistach basadehu, it's his tough luck. He's saying ad shaloi erastich. Now we have our mishnah where he's also claiming that it was before the erusin, but we understand according to Rabbi Elazar why we need two mishnayos, chada la'apuki midrami b'chama, one to tell us not like Rami b'chama's opinion, which we learned before that Rami Bar Chama had said that if she's a mukas eitz, then both Rabbi Meir, that if he didn't know beforehand that she's a mukas eitz and he discovered it only afterwards, then Rami Bar Chama had learned that both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim would say that there's no ksuba at all, whereas our Mishnah so our Mishnah then is saying that she's still claiming that she has a ksuba after all. She's saying that she gets 100 or 200 as the case may be. And now the Shita Mukobetzis points out, you can't say that she's saying, I'm Mukas Eitz, and you knew of it ahead of time, because then the argument is not, why would the husband counterclaim in Judas Asish? Let him just counterclaim, I didn't know beforehand that you were Mukas Eitz. Necessarily, we have to be talking about, she's claiming Mukas Eitz, and she agrees that he didn't know about it before. He's saying, I didn't know about it before, but in fact, it's not Mukas Eitz, but Judas Asish. So according to Rami Bar Chama, we said before he learned that everybody would agree that if he didn't know she was mukas eitz, then she gets zero. So therefore, the first Mishnah is, so our Mishnah is telling us not like Romi Bachoma, even though she is, even though he didn't know ahead of time that she's a Mukas Eitz, she would be entitled to a Ksuba, if the, except for the fact that the husband is counterclaiming, and then we have the Machlokas Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah. And then the earlier Mishnah, on Yudbeis Amud Beis, which is the case where she's saying that there was an that I was nenas, but after the Erusin, then you would say that is la'apukim in the Rav Chiba Oven, Amud Rav Sheshes, that comes to tell us not like Rav Chiba Oven in the name of Rav Sheshes, who says that if he married her, assuming she's a basula, and it turns out she's a ba'ula, then she gets a mona. Now, instead, the Mishnah is saying mekach tos, which we learned before, that mekach tos would imply that the word mekach tos might the word mekach tos could be understood to mean that she gets nothing. Before we had a Gemara earlier, actually, on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where we discussed that maybe, in fact, mekach tos could mean not exactly that he's saying that I owe zero, but rather that he's saying I owe only 100. But still, the word mekach tos seems to imply that he's saying nothing at all. So according to Rabbi Elazar, we understand why we need both Mishnayos. Each one is telling us not like one of those Amirayim that we said before. El Rabbi Yechanan Tauti Lomali, but according to Rabbi Yechanan, if he marries her thinking she's a Basula and she's a Ba'ula, she gets a Mana. So the earlier Mishnah, your days on the days, he's also not saying that she should get zero. He's claiming that she should get 100. And in our Mishnah also, according to Rabbi Yechanan, he's claiming that she should get 100. Tauti Lomali. So you have to ask, according to Rabbi Yechanan, why do we need two Mishnahs to teach us the same thing? When we to teach us the Machlokas of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yezid versus Rabbi Yeshua, why do we need two Mishnahs to tell us the same Machlokas? And the answer is, the answer is, Rabbi Yechanan would tell you that one Mishnah is telling you how far Rabbi Gamliel goes in saying that we believe her. And the other one tells us how far Rabbi Yeshua goes in saying that you don't believe her. Namely, Kamaisa, the earlier Mishnah, your days on the days, where she's claiming that there was an onus after the Erusin, and Rabbi Gamliel says that we believe her. That one is La'idiyach HaKoichad Rabbi Yeshua. That one comes to tell you how far Rabbi Yeshua goes in saying that we don't believe her. Even though, as we said in the Gemara on your days on the days, she has a migui. She could have made a better argument. Like this, when she says ne'enasti, the fact is she's claiming that she gets a ksuba, but on the other hand, she makes herself also to a kohen for all time. So instead she could have used a stronger claim. She could have said that she was mukas eitz, and nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua says loy mehena, we don't believe her, because after all, even by mukas eitz, Rabbi Yeshua says you don't believe her. So she could have made a better argument, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua says either way, we wouldn't have believed the other argument either. So even though there was a potential migui, Rabbi Yeshua says you don't believe her because he says you don't believe either argument anyway. Basraisa, whereas the second Mishnah, our Mishnah is Lahidiyah HaKoichad Rav Gamliel. That comes to tell you how far Rav Gamliel goes with his opinion, Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer, that is. Throughout the Sogias over here, we're talking, we say Rav Gamliel, we mean Rav Eliezer also, but we're talking Rav Gamliel because he's mentioned first. Anyway, the Africa Belek of the name of Migri. Now, even though in our case of our Mishnah, there's no Migri, because she's saying Mukas Eitzani, that's the strongest claim that she could say. And nevertheless, Rav Gamliel says Mehemna that we would still believe her, because after all, she has a chazaka that she was not mezana. Because after all, so we actually had before, we had at the bottom of Yudbeis Amud Beis, we had two reasons to believe her. One is because she has a migui, and the other is because she has a chazaka. So here we're mentioning that not only has a migui, but she also has a chazaka, namely the chazaka that Jewish women are not mezana. So this is what the Ran says. So you need both Mishnayos, according to Rabbi Yechanan, because each one tells you how far the one Tana goes. Rabbi Yeshua is not believing her in either case, even when she has a migui, and Rabbi Gamliel is believing her in both cases, even when she doesn't have a migui. And the reason why he believes her is because she has a chazaka of not being mezana. The Mishnah continues. Another case where Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua argue whether we believe her or not. This one not directly related. Now we're not talking anymore about cases of Tainas Basulin. Now we're talking more generally where a woman is being questioned about whether she had relations that would make her possible or kosher the Kohen. So the Mishnah says, Ra'uha medaberes im echad, if Edim saw her talking with somebody, and we're going to see it with a man, and we're going to see in the Gemara what the word talking over here exactly means, the question is whether that man is kosher. And if there's reason to believe that she had relations with him, then if he's a apostle, if he's a mamzer or a nosin, then he will pass her for kahuna forever, as we learned in Yevamos. So Omrullah, so they ask her, Mati Rishalishzeh, what's the story with this person? Is he kosher or apostle? And she answers, Ish Ploini Vakoyenu. She answers with a name, and she says it's Ploini, and he's a Koyen. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that he has to be a Koyen, per se. The same thing would apply if he's Yisrael, as long as he's Yisrael Miyuchas, as long as, again, he's not a Mamzer or Nosin or any of the other Psula Yichos that would passel her to ever marry a Koyen. So that's what she's claiming. So again, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer Omim Ne'emenes. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that we can believe her. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her. Literally, is like the expression we had before, we don't live from her mouth. In other words, we can't necessarily accept what she's saying on her say-so. Rather, she has a chazakah, she's had relations with a nosin or a mamzer. Now, even though a nosin or a mamzer are a miut, nevertheless, as we're going to talk on a debate, Rabbi Yeshua is concerned even when most of the people around are kshevi. So Rabbi Yeshua is concerned that she may have been a nosin or a mamzer, and therefore she's possible having had relations with him unless she brings proof that it was a kosher person. Another case, the Mishnah says, Hoysam or Beres, what if she was pregnant? So here, we didn't have Edim that she was alone with this guy, but the fact is she's pregnant, so therefore, obviously there had to have been Bia. But Amru L'mativa Shal Uberzeh, and they ask her, what's the story with this baby? Who is the father? And she says, again, Ish Ploini V'Koyenu. She says it's Ploini and he's a Koyen, which again, not necessarily a Koyen per se, but at least somebody Miyufas. So again, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer Omim Ne'emenes, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say we believe her claim, and therefore it means that she herself is not possible. We're going to discuss in the Gemara, actually, in the second case, are we saying that we believe her both as far as herself, that she is kosher to marry a Koyen in the future, as well as the child, that if the child is a girl, for example, that girl will be able to marry a Koyen in the future, or not, or are we saying only regarding her, or only regarding the child? We'll see about that in the Gemara. Anyway, that's Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Piyon HaChayin. Again, Rabbi Yeshua says we don't live from her mouth, meaning we can't believe necessarily what she's saying. Rather, she now has a chazakah that she had relations with a nosin or a mamzer, and therefore that she is possible corona achatobi rayalit baraha unless she brings proof to the contrary. So the Gemara starts off. My midabes. When we say she's speaking with this man, obviously just speaking itself is not going to be a problem. So what do we mean by that? So Ze'iri Omar Nistera, so Ze'iri says it means that she was secluded with him. She was alone with him, and it was enough time that there could have been Bia. The Ritva explains that actually Rabbi Yeshua would say that even if she claims that there was no Bi'ila at all, we would still say that no, we don't believe her. Rabbi Gamliel is going to say that even if she does say that she had relations, she has a migui because she could have said not. So therefore not. That's according to the Ritva. Tosfos discusses a little further in the a little further in the sugya, explains a little differently that Tosfos discusses that she in both she's claiming when Nivala, she's saying that she didn't have relations, but it's still considered a suffet because Eina Petrupas La Arayas, we say there can never be watchmen as far as Arayas. Maybe she had relations, maybe not. So Ze'iri says that she was secluded and there may or may not have been relations, and Rav Asi says it means that they actually had relations. Rav Asi Omer Nivala, Rav Asi says it means that they actually had relations. B'chlal, the Mishnah talks about in Matthew, it doesn't mean whenever we talk about that Adam see that people had relations, it doesn't literally mean that they saw the actual act. K'michkel b'shveferes, as the Gemara calls it over there, because the Adam are not supposed to be seeing such a thing. It would be very princistic for them to see it. Rather, they saw them k'derech hamanaf, and they saw them in the position that people would be when they do that. Anyway, so Rav Asi says that's what we're talking about over here. But just saying Nistera is not enough. So the Gemara says, "Bishlema leZeiri handed Katani midaberes." I understand according to Ze'iri, who says they were just secluded together. Well, that's why That's why the Mishnah uses the word medaberes. They were talking, implying, in other words, they were just talking, stam, out on the street. They were talking, they were secluded together. But according to Rav Asi, why are you using the word medaberes? What does that have to do with having relations? And the answer is, Lishnah Malia, the Mishnah is using nicer language. Kedichtiv, as we find a pasuk that expresses itself similarly, talks about a woman who is mezana, and it says ochol moch safia. She eats and she wipes off her mouth. But Omer like for alti oven, and she says I didn't do anything wrong. So we see that having relations can be described as achila, and the same way in our Mishnah it can be spoken of as dibur, as speech. There is a vote from the Baal Shem Tov on it that when we say Ra'u medaberes im echad, that the deeper idea of it is that when a person speaks, it should always be im echad, with consciousness of Hashem in mind. And there's a few places in Chassidus where it talks about the idea that we see here that dibur is associated with tainug and with connection. As we see that Malchus is associated with Dibur, and you have the connection of Zohar and Malchus and so forth. So therefore, that's a deeper reason why it uses the expression medaberes. According to Rav Asi, that we're saying Nivala, that we know that there were relations over here. Again, Tosfos points out that according to Rav Asi, if it was only Nistra, then even the Rav Asi would understand that even Rabbi Yeshua would say we believe her because she has a Migri. So what Tosfos distinguishes, earlier when we had the Migri, after all, Rabbi Yeshua said he's not going to believe whether she says Mukas Eitz or whether she says Nen Misher Astani Nen Nasti. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't consider it a real Migri. Here she has an actual Migri where Rabbi Yeshua would believe her if she says that I didn't have relations at all, then Rabbi Yeshua could believe her, according to Rav Asi. So therefore that would work as a Migri. So the Gemara says Bishlema l'Zeiri. Now, according to Zeiri, that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Yichud, and then the second part necessarily is talking about that there was Bia, because we're finding that she's pregnant. Hide the Katoni Tauti, and that explains why we have two parts of the Machlokas in the Mishnah. Medaberes or Umoberes. You have the case where she was Medaberes, which is Stira, and the case where she's actually pregnant. So the point is that in either case, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that even when it comes to Yichud, is enough to make her possible. And Rabbi Gamliel is saying that even when she's actually pregnant, showing that definitely there was Bia, then Rabbi Gamliel is going to say she's kosher. Elo of Asi Tauti Lomali, but according to Rabbi Asi, who says that both parts are talking about she had relations, then why do we need two parts of the Mishnah? And the answer is Chodol Hachshuba, but Chodol Hachshuba Bita. The answer is, one is to tell us that she herself, one part is to tell us that Rav Gamliel would say that she herself is kosher l'kohuna. So the first part, when we're saying, according to Rav Asi, that she had relations, but there's no baby. So Rav Gamliel is saying that the point is she is still kosher l'kohuna because she's telling us that the man that she was with is himself somebody who is kosher l'kohuna, who wouldn't pass her. And then the second part of the Mishnah, talking about when she's pregnant, is talking about lahachshu, the chodah, lahachshu, the bitta. The second part is telling us that her daughter is also kosher. If she has a daughter, then Rav Gamliel wants to tell us also that the daughter herself will be kosher to marry a kohen as well. Now, on the other hand, the fact is, Tosfos says, we do need the first part because we also need to know that Rabbi Yeshua is machmir even on her. We need to know that Rabbi Yeshua is not just saying that the daughter might be, that the daughter is possible, but also that she herself. Therefore, we need both parts. One, again, like we said before, according to Rabbi Yechanan, he would say, according to Rabbi Asi, one to tell us how far Rabbi Yeshua goes and one to tell us how far Rabbi Gamliel would go. So now one point is, the reason why the daughter's position is weaker, by the way, is because she doesn't have a cheskas kashrus. The woman herself who was saying was Nistiro, Nivalo, or whatever, she had a cheskas kashrus. At one time, she was kosher to marry a kohen, but her daughter never was. Therefore, when we say that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer would say that she's kosher to marry a kohen, that's a very strong thing. I mean, even though she had no chazaka in the ikra, we'd still allow that. So the Gemara says, well, that works out according to the opinion, which we're going to have on all the days. We're going to have a machlokas that, in fact, that according to Rav Gamliel, we're going to have an opinion that says that Rav Gamliel, who said, we're going to have Rav Yechanan, who says that she, Rav Yechanan, understands Rav Gamliel to be saying that Rav Gamliel, who says that she herself is kosher, says that also her daughter is kosher. So then according to that, then it works out very nicely. So then we can say, in other words, that's the point. The first part of the Mishnah is telling us that Rav Gamliel is machsher her, and the second part tells us that he's machsher her daughter. But we have the opinion of Rabbi Elazar on Amud Beis, who says that even Rabbi Gamliel, who says that she's kosher, would say that her daughter is kosher. Again, because the daughter has no cheskes kashrus. Then what are you going to say? According to Rabbi Asi, why do we need both parts of the Mishnah? According to, if we look at it that way, then both parts are telling us the same thing, that she's kosher, but then the second part is just repeating what the first part said. I said, you're right. Rav Asi, Sover, Commander Omer, the Divram Machshav Bachshav Bittah. Okay, necessarily, we have to say that Rav Asi would hold like Rav Yechon on Omer Beis and say that Rav Gamliel, who says that she herself is kosher, would say that her daughter is also kosher. So therefore, so we'd have to say he would have to necessarily disagree with Rav Elazar. And the idea would be, in other words, there's a Tosfos elsewhere and the Shev Shmaitza that discusses it in more detail, that the mother herself has a cheskes kashrus, and therefore that helps the daughter as well. Because once we said that based on her cheskes kashrus, the man she was with is kosher, then already we can transfer that to the daughter as well, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Gamliel. And that's what we're saying, necessarily Rabbi Asi will have to hold like that. Whereas Ze'iri over here doesn't necessarily have to hold like that. He could hold like Rabbi Elazar later on. Okay. So the Gemara says, Now, according to Ze'iri, who says that in our Mishnah, the word medaberes means that she was secluded with this guy, and the Omer Rabbi Yeshua delay mehena, and still Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her, and we have to be concerned that not only they had relations, but that the guy was possible. The problem is, didn't Rav say that if an Ashes Ish was alone with another man, so there was Yichud, which is Osir, so she gets Malkus, Derabonon, she gets Makus Margus, that ain't Osirin ala Yichud, but we don't say that she's also on the basis of that. Because we're not going to say that she's also to her husband, maybe not necessarily, she have relations with this guy. So, Lema Deleika Rabbi Yeshua, does that mean that Rabbi Yechanan's statement, does that mean that Rav's statement, rather, is not like Rabbi Yeshua? Which we find in different Gemara, the Rashba explains that we find in a different Gemara in Kedushin that Rav does hold like Rabbi Yeshua. So therefore, so Rav would be contradicting himself. And the answer is no. So here's where Tosfos mentions, by the way, that even according to Ze'iri, you could say that according to Ze'iri had said that Ze'iri had said Mistura. So we have to understand that according to Ze'iri, she agrees that there was relations over here, because otherwise it would be only a speka. So we're talking about, so that's what Tosfos leads to say, that no, she says Lo Nivala, but it's only one suffix was in Apaturpas Larais. Anyway, so the question is again, on Rav holds like Rabbi Yeshua, as we find in a different Gemara, but Rav says that you don't aser an Ashes Ish on the grounds of Yichud. So just because there was Yichud doesn't necessarily mean that there was Bia, but according to Ze'iri, how would that fit? According to Ze'iri, who says that our Mishnah is saying that Yichud alone is enough to Aser her to a Kohen, so how would that fit with all that? And the answer is, after the Tamer of Yeshua, you can even say that it goes according to Rabbi Yeshua, because you could even say that Rav agrees with Rabbi Yeshua, because Maila also with Yuchsin, you could say when it comes to Yuchsin, when it comes to marrying a Kohen, the Chachamim put higher standards and said that even Yichud alone is enough to ask, as opposed to when it comes to an Ashes Ish being also to her husband, we're not going to say that. We're not going to say that unless we're not going to make also to her husband just on the grounds of Yichud. The Pashtus, not even, so Tosfos discusses over here that you have two different parts over here. Malkin ala Yichud would actually be only an Ashes Ish. If she was in Yichud, we don't even, Yichud, we're talking about an Ashes Ish specifically. There's another possibility that of what we learned in Yevamos, that there's a point of Yehuda, we said that if a man has relations with a woman outside of marriage, then his son is also to marry that woman later. And that would be saying that Ein Oistrin ala Yichud would mean the result that if the father is only in Yichud with this woman, then that's not a reason enough to ask her to his son, even a point of Yehuda. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Basically, now we have a contradiction on Rav. Or on Rav Asi, rather. Rav Asi, who says that on Mishnah, Medaberes, means that they actually had relations, but Rabbi Yeshua would say that if there was only Yichud, she'd still be kosher the corner. But Mesvi, we have a contradiction. Braisa says, if we see an unmarried woman going into a secluded place with someone. So this is only yichud. There's no be'ila. We didn't have any edim of anything resembling be'ila. Or they went in together into a ruined house, which is a common place for znus to take place. And they ask her, what's the story with this man? And she says, koyin hu. She says he's a koyin. Or she says, uven achi abahu. She says she's my she says he's my cousin. Which the point being, in other words, that would be a reason. The Shitta Mukhabetz explained that would be part of her claim. Why was I alone with this guy? Because he's my cousin. It's normal for cousins to hang out together. Anyway, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, and Nan Menes. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say we can believe her, and she still remains kosher v'kohona. Rabbi Yeshua and Malone Pion and Chayin. And again, Rabbi Yeshua says, like he says in our Mishnah, we're not living off her mouth, meaning that we don't necessarily believe her. Ella Harezer b'cheskes ulo l'nosin l'manzer. So she has a chazaka now, since we don't know who that man was. She's claiming it's her cousin, but we don't know that that's the case. So therefore, she has a chazaka that now she's had relations with a nosin or a manzer. So therefore, she's possible to marry a kohen. Ad shetov yirayu l'dvara, unless she brings a proof to the contrary. So now that we have that braisa, the shlemel is Ziri. So according to Ziri, who said that an on Mishnah is talking about yichud, then we understand why the Mishnah, why the Braisa rather, was mentioning two possibilities, l'seser or l'churva, when they went into seclusion or into churva. So seser would imply that they just did yichud, and churva, since Rashi had said at the top of the Amud that a churva is a common place for znus, then therefore the Braisa would be implying whether there was only yichud, or whether there was also evidence that there may have been be'ila. Either way, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer are saying we believe her, and Rabbi Yeshua is saying we don't. El Rav Asi de'omer nivala, but Rav Ashi says that the whole case of on Mishnah is talking about where she had relations, and according to him, yichud alone is not a reason to ask her at all, even according to Rabbi Yeshua. Tauti lomali. Then according to him, why would the Benais have to be telling us about two cases, one where they were secluded and one they were in a room? And the answer is one where they were in a ruined building. According to Rav Asi, you would answer Chodah Katani. You're right. It doesn't mean a rune. It doesn't mean a hidden place or a rune. It means Chodah Katani. It's one thing. Waseso dechorba means to a secluded place within the rune, which is a common place where people do znus. Well, says, what do you mean? Behold, waseso or lechorba katani. The fact is, the Braisa said into a secluded place or a chorba. That clearly implies that we're talking about two different places. And the answer is chodah lechorba. You're right. Chodah lechorba de masa, but chodah lechorba de dabra. You're right. We're still talking. Both of them are wounds. But the word laseser means a wound that's in the city, and the other one, the chodah, and the other one is the chorva de davra. The other one is a wound that's out in the fields. And the point is, at utzrichi. Now, according to that, we would say that we need both of those because the iashmin and chorva. Now, remember, this is a point that I'm asking, who says that the whole thing we're talking about is where we have evidence that there was be'il. So we would still say, according to Ramasi, we need to be told separately about a churva in the city versus a churva in the fields. Because the ashmin and churva de maser, if we were only told about one in the city, then you would say, you know why Ram Gamliel says she's kosher, mishum de roiv kshedim etzla, because who is most likely to be the man she was with is most likely one of the people of the city. Well, most of the people of the city are kshedim. So therefore, Rav Gamliel would say we believe her. Ava l'chorba de davra, but when you're talking about a rune out in the fields, roiv de roiv psulim etzla, there you're talking about most of the people who might be there are psulim, because after all, it could be anybody. Anybody could have come to the fields from anywhere in the world, and most people in the world are goyim, and they would pass her to a kohen. Ema moidele le Rabbi Yeshua. So you would think maybe in that case, Rav Gamliel would agree with Rabbi Yeshua that we don't believe her to say that the man was kosher. The Iyashmin and Bahi, on the other hand, if we only had the one outside the city, then he would say Bahi, Karma, Rabbi Yeshua, only there. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua says, because Roy Silver Etzla, would he say that we don't believe her? Alba Baha, but when it's in a city, where again we're talking a city which is mostly Ksherim and therefore Roy Ksherim Etzla, Ema Moidel Rabbi Gamliel. So you would think maybe Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Rabbi Gamliel, and therefore Tzricha, so therefore we need both cases. So according to Ziri, one's talking about where there was just Yichud, and the other talking about where there was strong evidence of Be'ila, because they were in a Chorva, which is where such things commonly take place. And according to Rav Asi, we would say, it's talking about two, first we thought that it means one kind of place, but now we're saying, no, it does mean does mean two kinds of places, but they're both rooms, but one is in the city and one is out in the fields. And the point is, even in the city, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe her, and even in the fields, Rabbi Gamliel does believe her. Okay. Like Moses says, Mace, I have another contradiction on Ravasi. We learn in a Braisa that going back to the in our Mishnah we have the case that where the woman is pregnant and they ask for Mativish of Uberzeh. So in fact there are Gusais that have it over here, and the Tosefta has it this way. So we're talking about she's pregnant. She says that it was from a kosher. So the Braisa tells over the Machloikas of Rav Gamliel, Rav Eliezer, and Rav Yeshua that we have in our Mishnah, and the Braisa continues Zu Edus Shoisha Kerala. This is an edus for which a woman is kosher. But on the other hand, so in other words, we accept her edus that he was kosher. On the other hand, but Rabbi Yeshua and an emanus, but Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her. Amalehem Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua says to them, why should we believe her? E atem moidim, don't you, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer agree, b'shvuyesh and nishbeis, if a woman was taken prisoner, was taken captive by goyim, and the Yeshla Edim Shanishbis, and we have Edim that happened. Now, if there weren't Edim, we're going to learn in the next parak, she would have a migri to say that I was never captured. But once we have Edim that she was captured, then she loses that migri, of course. And then there's always the concern that she may have been raped by them. So Vihia Meres Tahorani, she says I remained Tahor, and none of them were honest me. So Rabbi Yeshua says Shein and Emenes. The fact is we don't believe her, and she's possible to marry a Kohen. So the same way in our case over here, why should we believe? Avol. So Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel answer to him true. That's granted. The word avol usually means but sometimes in such contexts, the word avol means something like indeed. We actually find already in Chumash. We have, for example, when Yosef's brothers say in Parashas Miketz, avol Hashem Manafu, how it, literally it sounds like we're saying, however, we're guilty, but Rashi brings over there from one of the Targumim that the word avol means bekushta in truth. So the same way over here, they say avol, true. What you're saying is true. By Shvuya, we would not believe it. Well, then Rabbi Yeshua says, well, then what's the difference? Why by Shvuya would you not believe her? And in our case over here, you are believing her. So, I'm being consistent. I say we never believe her. We always say the man that she was with may have been possible. But you're saying by Shvuya, you agree that she's possible. Here you're claiming she's kosher. Why? So they answered him, Lazuyash Edim, because the Shvuya, there are Edim after all, because we know that she was captured. Once she was captured, we have a very strong chazaka because the goyim are promiscuous, and therefore we have a very strong reason to believe that she may have been, that one of them may have raped her. As opposed to in our case over here, there's no Edim, so therefore she has a nigger. She could have said that I had no relationship at all, and now if she's saying it was with a kosher, then fine. So Rabbi Yeshua says to them, actually, this one does have Edim, because after all, in effect, she has Edim, because she's pregnant. Literally, kreisa ben shinel means her stomach is between her teeth. It's a Gemara expression, meaning, in other words, that she's very visibly pregnant. So obviously she had relations. You're still saying she's believed. So obviously you're not distinguishing whether there's Edim or not. So now Rabbi Eliezer, and I'm going to be your answer, Rabbi Yeshua, the difference is most goyim are poruts, are promiscuous regarding arayas, as we'll see soon what they mean by that argument. So Rabbi Yeshua answers them, well, the fact is there's no watchman when it comes to arayas. So even with a yid, there's a possibility that they may have had relations. And since that yid, we don't know that he was necessarily a kosher, he may well have been a apostle, then I say that we have to say that she's apostle. So this is all, we're trying to bring this as a question on Rabasi, but first we have to clarify, first let's finish the Braisa and clarify what the Braisa is saying. And the Braisa finishes off, when is all this talking about that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua argue, the Edus Isha B'Gufa is the Edus of the woman about herself. She says the man that I was with was kosher, and we're saying maybe not. Avol edus isha b'bita, but when she's giving edus about her daughter, so she's saying I had relations with somebody kosher, and therefore my daughter is kosher to marry a kohen. Then we would say give it a hakel of vach suki. Then we would say everybody agrees that the child is a suki. Now usually the word suki means a child where we know who the father, we know who the mother is, but we don't know who the father is. The expression is that every time the child recognizes somebody and thinks that it's her father, we tell her. So the question is, Maika Omalahu Maika Mahadulet. What is the part of the argument where Rabbi Yeshua says to them, where Rabbi Yeshua says to them that one has Edim, where they say one has Edim and the other one doesn't have Edim, and Rabbi Yeshua and they end up pointing out to him that most Goyim are Prutzim Barayas, and he answers. So what is he telling them that they answered on that, and what are they answering back to him? So the fact is that the fact is she's pregnant. She's obviously had relations. So that's stronger than any kind of svara that most goyim are promiscuous. So therefore, so if we're going to say that a shvuya is also, then yeah, all the more so a woman who's pregnant ought to be also, because the one who the man she was with may have been a possum. So what exactly was the argument? So the answer is hochikamulay. The answer is we have to understand what the Braisa is saying. It means Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer are telling Rabbi Yeshua like this. Heshavtonu ala mulberes. Fine. You gave us a good answer about the mulberes. When a woman is actually pregnant, then fine. We agree that that can be more strongly compared to a shvuya. Now we can say, Tosfos says, that we can say the fact is that when she's mizana, she may be more careful, she may be more discriminating about who she's with, and she's going to make sure to only be with a kosher, whereas a shvuya doesn't have that option. So we, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, don't even have to agree. But at least according to you, Rabbi Yeshua, fine, you have a point within your svara that you can say, once she's pregnant, obviously there were relations, so therefore that's more similar to a shvuya. At mat shivenu alam adaberes. But what are you going to tell us about where she was only medaberes? Now here's where, this is why we're going to bring this as a question on Rav Ashi. Rav Asi, who said that medaberes means that she actually had relations. Well, then medaberes is nivala. So that's why we're going to use that to slog up Rav Asi. So, but meanwhile, let's finish the understanding the braisa first. So what about if it was only medaberes? What about if it was only yichud? So there's not even a proof that there was any be'ila at all. So why shouldn't we believe her? And Amalahem, Rabbi Yeshua answers, then medaberes, hainu shvuya. As a matter of fact, I consider it the same thing. That there's a good chance in either case that there was be'ila. Amalahem, so they say to him, not so. It can't be the same thing at all. Shiny shvuya, it's different by shvuya. Since most of the captors, most of the goyish captors are promiscuous, so therefore there's a very high likelihood that they actually raped her. But just because yichud is not reason enough to say that not. In fact, the Mitzvah points out, even if she was willingly alone with a goy, we would still say it. The fact is, she was willingly, so she could still have the option of saying no, as opposed to a shvuya doesn't really have that option. So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Yeshua answers them, no, honami, even over here, kiven di stater, once she was in yichud, she wasn't supposed to be, then we say, eina patrupas l'arayas, there's no guardsman, there's no watchman. When it comes to arayas, there's a good chance that there was be'ila, therefore, she doesn't have a migri to say that I didn't, and therefore, once she doesn't have a migri, then we say that there's a good chance that she did, in fact, have relations, and therefore we have to be concerned that it was a possible. So again, Tosfos had said on Amud Aleph, and they say also over here, that if she claims that she hadn't, had relations at all, then even Rabbi Yeshua would believe her. Only when she's saying that she did have relations, then we don't. Then Rabbi Yeshua doesn't accept her migui, because the fact is, she would have been afraid to claim that I wasn't, that I didn't have relations, because again, ain't up to trupas larais. Okay, so the point is, now that we understand the whole discussion between Rabbi Yeshua versus Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, so now, katoni mi yastarti. So we had two different cases that we talked about, midaberes and moberes. We see clearly that they're arguing about when she talked, meaning that she was in yichud with the man. Man, and when she's Okay, so to continue, how can Rabbi Yeshua say that it's the same thing? The Hossam Rov Suva Netzla, the Hocha Rov Kshayu Netzla. When it comes to the Shvuya of the man that she could, that potentially might be